95 days to the presidential and parliamentary elections in the year 2024. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi, we are on Love 99.5 FM. We're on myjoyonline.com. We are live in all 16 regions. Jubilee Radio in Cape Town. We're on A1 Radio in Borga Tanga, ATL FM in Cape Coast. Live on X Spaces and on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin accuses the majority of bad faith following their successful recall of Parliament for an emergency sitting.
To exercise this option immediately a day after the adjournment is, to say the least, unfortunate and in bad faith. But as the law stands now, I am constitutionally obliged to honor their request.
We have details as the minority warns they will not support the tax waivers scheduled for deliberation.
The NDC minority has not changed our position on these tax exemptions. We have always maintained that these tax exemptions are not in the best interest of the ordinary Ghanaian.
Also coming up, Ghana Water Company reports a surge in attacks on its staff by illegal miners, warning they may be forced to withdraw personnel from headworks near these mining sites. We have details of that. Meanwhile, Joy News investigation reveals a new invasion of a protected forest reserve in the Asankrigwa and Awin municipalities of the Western Region, devastating an area equivalent to over 10 football fields.
In the beginning of August, we saw some Chinese people working outside the forest reserve. They crossed the Tano River into the forest to do illegal mining.
Also this afternoon, Attorney General cautioned state prosecutors against misusing Ghana's newly passed plea bargain legislation, warning it could become a tool for shielding criminals.
Ladies and gentlemen, any care must be taken to ensure that the pursuit of assets of criminals does not become a vehicle for the concealment of crime and shielding criminals from prosecution.
Also this afternoon, Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Ernest Addison denies using position to illegally acquire state lands. We have details for you. We have sports.
Ghana's Black Princesses turn their attention to the crucial second group game against Japan after losing their opener.
And we have our Flats of Trauma series this afternoon. We take you to Wager, a year after the flats where residents remain adamant about staying in the flat plain despite the rainy season already setting in.
We don't have anywhere to go. I'm contemplating leaving, but I don't want to be a burden on others.
That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau, and this is your home of independent, fearless, and credible journalism. Please do stay on for details. Thanks once again for choosing us. We dig in now, and Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin says the majority in Parliament have acted in bad faith by recalling Parliament from its break. The NPP MPs asked for this emergency sitting to consider several businesses they claim outstanding and they deemed urgent, including the approval of loans and taxes. But the Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin, in an address to the House, said many of the items listed are not even urgent.
The frequent invocation of Article 1123 within a session of Parliament should be a concern of all of us. While the provisions are clear and unambiguous, we must consider the broader context in which they are intended to operate and legislate to set down the preconditions under which the article could apply. Parliament receives to focus more on its other functions of scrutiny, representation, advocacy, and diplomacy. Article 112 should not become a tool to keep Parliament in perpetual or continuous session, thereby preventing Parliament and members from performing the other aforementioned constitutional functions and duties to the country and constituencies. A frequent invocation of Article 1123, particularly in a House composed such as this 8th Parliament, could pose challenges to the governance of the country. The good intentions of the drafters of the Constitution could be turned into a horror movie.
Speaker Alban Bagbin, Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante is on standby for us to give us all the details of what is happening in this particular sitting. And Kweku, just before we talk about anything else, please walk us through the business that the House is expected to deal with.
Well, MFI, will be recalled that when the majority leader did send that memo to the Speaker of Parliament requesting the urgent sitting, there were about four key business he wanted the House to consider. First, a $250 million energy sector recovery program loan, tax exemptions amounting to about $350 million for 1D1F, another loan of $250 million for the Ghana Stability Financial Fund, as well as about 10 different bills. The Speaker of Parliament says he has considered all these businesses. He does not consider that so many of them are urgent, and so he will not allow the House to consider them. And so, for this urgent recall of the House will consider first the motion on $250 million IBA financing agreement, the tax waivers amounting to $350 million, as well as that $250 million energy sector recovery program loan that was rejected before the House went on break. The majority have filed a motion to rescind the decision of the House. And so these are the three businesses that the House is going to consider today and tomorrow that the House is sitting for this recall.
Well, I have bad maths calculations, but from what you've outlined, I've calculated up to $850 million in terms of these loans and tax exemptions and waivers you talk about. But already the minority say they are opposed to all these businesses?
Well, yes, if you add the two loans together, that's about $500 million. And then there's tax waivers, that is about $350 million. The minority have said that these tax waivers are going to cronies of government. They are not going to use the economy. They are not going to let the country develop, for which reason they are opposed. The minority leader has been reiterating this stance on the floor.
This recall comes barely 95 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. This recall has indeed been triggered by the MPP majority, and is to enable them fast track and railroad tax giveaways to their crony businesses. Right, Honorable Speaker, let me state without any equivocation that the NDC minority has not changed our position on these tax exemptions. We have always maintained that these tax exemptions are not in the best interest of the ordinary Ghanaian. Our position has always been and still remains that they should convert these tax exemptions into tax credit, and otherwise may be linked these tax exemptions into equity shares as stipulated in the Tax Exemptions Act. We will not support a giveaway of $350 million to crony businesses in a very opaque and untransparent manner. Right, Honorable Speaker, giving away tax exemptions in excess of $350 million is not an urgent issue that should warrant a recall.
That's the minority leader, Atu Forcing there. Now, Kweku, what has been the majority's response to this?
Afenyo Makin has been firing back. He insists that such comments as those that were made by the minority leader have the propensity of taking a bad toll on the economy. He says these tax waivers are so crucial for government's 1D1F1 agenda. He has been asking the minority to reconsider their stance to oppose these tax waivers.
When the decision is taken and they say that let us put in the monitoring blocks, that I support, so that people do not abuse tax exemptions when granted. But to say that tax exemptions are being given to crony companies and businesses, Mr. Speaker, to say the least, is not backed by any fact. What the minority leader is saying is rather to discourage investors, crashing businesses and giving uncertainty to the business environment, and that affects our country. I encourage the minority to support the SAC tax exemption program. The Finance Committee, throughout the period of recess, has been working hard to scrutinize these applications. I am aware that through their scrutiny, they have brought down the figures significantly. It is not as it was at the time same was laid. Again, a key aspect of the program, of the policy, which had to do with raw materials, have also been taken out.
Well, that's the majority leader. Kweku, for clarity though, how long is this emergency sitting supposed to last?
Well, for 2 days. That is according to the Speaker of Parliament, today and tomorrow, for the House to consider these three urgent businesses for which reason the majority recalled the House.
And there's been a number of fire cases recorded in recent times. Parliament was not spared in that. The Speaker has been speaking about it.
Well, yes, MFA, the Speaker has been giving an update on the fire that hit the Johnson Sandler building last week. The Speaker of Parliament has been commending the fire service for the work they did to douse the flame. He has also been asking members of Parliament and other staff to ensure that they do not use the facility in a way that engenders more fire in the future.
First, commend officers of the Ghana National Fire Service for their swift response to a fire incident in an office on the mezzanine floor of Job 600. But for their timely intervention, I sincerely cannot tell what could have happened. Whilst investigations by the Ghana National Fire Service are ongoing, I want to urge each and every one of us to at all times prioritize safety in whatever we do. Let us be vigilant and follow all the safety precautions to prevent any such occurrences in the future.
Speaking of fires, the Ghana National Fire Service is concerned about the spike in fire incidents across the country, with over 50 cases recorded in just 1 week. The Greater Accra region has been particularly hard hit, accounting for the highest number of these incidents. The service's PRO, Alex Kinnate, says a significant number of these fires are attributable to the negligence of residents and business owners, the use of outdated and faulty electrical appliances, and poor building planning.
So we recorded no less than 50 fires. I'll try not to be out. Let's see, probably from Ashanti to Accra, Tema, Eastern region, it will not be less than 50. You know, it will probably be in excess of 50 incidents. Mm. People let their guards down. People have this perception that fires are far away from them. So there's the element of one, negligence, and then the fact that people often, we've said it, that people often prioritize their speed more than their safety. So one thing that runs through a lot of these fires is gas explosions.
Well, that's Alex Kinnate there. Sorry about the poor quality there. Meanwhile, just last night, at least 9 shops and a church were raised by fire in an area in Kaswa. The fire, which was reported to start in a metal container at about 5:30 p.m. in Kaswa, swept through 8 others and a church, burning all belongings to ashes. Here's a victim who says she lost all her belongings, including cash.
And I had a thought that our show is burning. I don't know what exactly is the plan. At the time I get to this place, it was worse. We locked the shop. It was worse. There's nothing we can do about it.
What do you do in that shop?
I sold drinks. It's a sport.
Well, that's a resident of Kaswa there interacting with my colleague David Ando during that incident. Now, the Ghana Water Company is warning it may be forced to withdraw staff operating its water production headworks near mining areas following persistent attacks on them by illegal miners. According to the company, the attacks have become a regular feature, with some of the victims afraid to go back because there is inadequate protection for them. The company has warned it may stop water production over concerns about illegal mining. We can hear from Stanley Marte, is a general manager in charge of public relations.
It's one of the challenges that we are facing at our treatment plants. And most of our treatment plants are sited in remote areas. So sometimes, anytime there's a scoop on the people, they assume that it is our staff who have reported them. So they go there at midnight and beat them up. And also sometimes, inflict wounds and stuff on them and all that. So it's a serious issue. It's happening in Adaso, it's happening in the West, it's happening in most of our treatment plants. So now we are helpless. The only thing we can do is to manage the situation and do public education. So together with the Water Resources Commission, we do a lot of public education for the community folks to appreciate reasons why they should disallow the illegal mining in our water bodies to go on. Okay, so it's a serious issue. And our staff are not armed. Okay, so what can they do when these people come armed and sometimes with clubs and sticks and all manner of stuff? I mean, they just wake up at dawn at midnight, round everybody up and beat them up and all that. So, and most of them don't come from that community. They come from other communities, so they are not known. So it becomes very difficult for you to even report to the police and then identify that this guy was part of the mob that that beat us up, you know. So it's a serious challenge.
So that means you've recorded physical injuries on some of your staff?
Several times.
And nobody has been arrested in connection with some of the assaults?
Like I say, most of them don't come from that same community.
That's the general manager in charge of public relations, Stanley Mati, there speaking on The Pulse with Elton Brobe. Meanwhile, Joy News investigations have uncovered yet another invasion of one of Ghana's protected forest reserves in the Asankrigwa and Awin municipalities of the Western Region, destroying over 10 football fields of the biodiversity area. My colleague Erastus Asare-Donko has been on the ground. Here's his report.
The Tano Anya Forest Reserve in the Awin municipality covers part of the watershed of the Tano River. It was gazetted as a forest reserve in 1955. Experts say it meets one or more previously established criteria for identified sites of biodiversity importance. In December 2023, we reported an invasion of compartments 74 and 75 of the reserve by Chinese miners led by an NPP executive in the Awin municipality. A few days ago, another batch of Chinese miners and some influential Ghanaian collaborators have entered and destroyed compartments 17 and 20 of the protected reserve.
In the beginning of August, we saw some Chinese people working outside the forest reserve. They crossed the Tano River into the forest to do illegal mining. The forestry people, after 2 weeks, the forestry people came to drove them away. But they left their machines on the road. Until we came here, we realized they have moved all their excavators away, leaving the washing plants and their generators inside the reserve.
Once again, the degradation and destruction of another pristine protected forest has begun right here. This is the Tano Anya Forest Reserve. And as you can see, some illegal miners have entered and started its destruction for gold. We were told by our sources at the Minerals Commission that Clean Jobs Ghana Limited legally owns a mining right to portions of the forest, but they are yet to start mining.
That's Erastus Asare-Donko's report, and the hashtag No to Galamse is active on all social media platforms. Do join the discussion. Now, Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Ernest Addison has denied using his position to illegally acquire state lands. This was after the Member of Parliament for North Tong, Samuel Okujetua Blakwa, in a social media post named the governor and his two deputies for acquiring these lands at an unreasonable price. But persons close to these governors have sought to reject portions of the story out there. Enjoy business editor George Riafi has been digging. He joins us in studio with what more we are learning. Really, let's talk about first maybe the background to this particular issue.
And as you tried to explain earlier on, they were named in that social media post that the reports that have followed is that they used their positions to actually acquire this land. What we've picked up is that this has been a long-standing practice over the years where past governors have benefited from this offer from the state based on their service to the state. And they actually paid for these lands, even though it can be described as a more of a discounted market rate. But this wasn't something that was given to them for free. It was based on their service that they have rendered to the state. And other governors over the years have also benefited from this practice.
Okay, so that's the information that you're picking up, at least from persons close to the governor of the Bank of Ghana when it comes to this particular
And for your end, there are concerns too that because of this, that the bank's independence might be compromised. The bank is also rejecting this argument, saying that based on structures that they have in place, these things can never compromise their independence in executing their functions as governor and even governors of the central bank.
Thank you very much. That's Joy Business editor George Riafi. And of course, we'll bring you more subsequently, also available on myjoyonline.com. Let's take a quick break here on the Midday News, live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi, we're on Love 99.5 FM, also live on myjoyonline.com, live in all 16 regions, X Spaces and Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Source. Fossil Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. I took you to Parliament, where the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, is accusing the majority of bad faith following their successful recall of Parliament for an emergency sitting to approve some substantial loans. We'll return from the break. We have sports, and Attorney General is cautioning state prosecutors against misusing Ghana's newly passed plea bargaining legislation, warning it could become a tool for shielding criminals. And in our Flats of Trauma series, we take you to Wager, a year after the flats where residents remain adamant about staying in the floodplain despite the rainy season already setting in.
We don't have anywhere to go. I'm contemplating leaving, but I don't want to be a burden on others.
Budgets are tight and money difficult to come by. You want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
The luckiest
*712# hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# hash and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is
Dialing *712# hash. Now joining the luckiest winning celebration. Every 1st July 2024. Over dialing *712# hash. Now I can swear to ticket as a group, individual, and as a, even as a community. Now win is the card cashier. Prizes are cashier in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712# hash. Now joining the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712# hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
How can you not sing along?
Of
it's
course,
time for sports.
I'm the lucky one.
Mubarak,
yes, MFL. So it hasn't been the start Ghanaians hoped for at the Under-20 World Cup in Colombia. The Black Princesses suffered a surprising 2-1 defeat to debutant Austria, which leaves them third in Group E. Now, Ghana's next challenge is on Thursday against 2018 champions Japan, who won their opener with a 7-0 score. Now, head coach Yusif Bazigi knows the task ahead.
Or maybe drawing would have given us much, would I say, motivation to play. But however, we have nothing to complain if we are playing against Japan. The only thing is to ensure that we beat them. It gives us hope, but we still want to go on merit. Even though third place is also a merit, we still want to fight hard and then get a respectable position in our group.
Yeah, that was the head coach of the Black Princesses, Yusif Bazigi.
The task ahead will definitely not be coming home. We'll definitely make it through. Now it's time for our Flats of Trauma. And it's been a year since the devastating floods ravaged communities along the Wager catchment area, leaving residents in turmoil. Despite the destruction, many remain in the buffer zones, their homes still standing in that particular flat plain. In Joy News Flats of Trauma series, Emmanuel Juveno went back to the community. Here's his report.
Last year's flood was a disaster that submerged hundreds of houses, leaving many displaced and livelihoods destroyed. Wisdom Obin, a taxi driver, and his family were among those affected. The water damaged his taxi, his only source of income.
My taxi, we had the thing caused us small. Where the water enter inside, spoil everything. Picking 2 days inside, 4 children, so things had small, so I know if do I'm right now, where I live, I'm small.
We don't have anywhere to go. I'm contemplating leaving, but I don't want to be a burden on others.
Now, with the rainy season already upon them, Wisdom and his neighbors remain on edge.
Holy God. Only God.
The stark reality is that despite the warnings, many residents remain reluctant to leave, clinging to the hope that this year will be different. Emmanuel Givanus reports, read to you.
Well, that's Emmanuel Givanus' report. Now, let's go on to some other stories. And the Attorney General, Godfred Yeboah-Dame, is cautioning state prosecutorial agencies to avoid the misuse of Ghana's recently passed plea bargain legislation, per the law where the court is permitted to accept a plea agreement and convict an accused person based on the recommended sentence in the plea agreement. However, while acknowledging the potential benefits of plea bargaining in dealing with financial and economic crime, Attorney General Godfred Yeboah-Dame points out the possibility that a plea agreement may merely aim at recovering proceeds of crime without an admission.
Ladies and gentlemen, any care must be taken to ensure that the pursuit of assets of criminals does not become a vehicle for the concealment of crime and shielding criminals from prosecution. The conclusion of deferred prosecution agreements in certain situations and plea bargaining agreements should not be used as a conduit by prosecuting authorities and accused persons for the avoidance of liability or acknowledgement of wrongdoing. Ghana recently, in 2022, introduced plea bargaining into its criminal jurisprudence. And we have been confronted with situations where some criminals have resorted to plea bargaining arrangements with the state in an opaque and vague manner, bordering on the avoidance of accountability. Where prosecutors are motivated by the sole objective of recovering supposed proceeds of crime, in a situation where the accused persons plainly refuse to admit responsibility for the commission of those crimes.
That's a Godfred Yeboah-Dame, the Attorney General. Now imagine having to cover about 26 kilometers in a wheelchair every week in your quest to assess education. Well, that's the story of Azaya Amadu Awuku, a student living with a physical challenge at the University of Ghana. Despite Azaya's mobility difficulties, he refuses to let anything stand in the way of his academic dreams. Enjoy News This Abled series. Emmanuel Givenu of our Education Desk shares his story of perseverance and ambition.
In the morning, and since the sun has risen and I am alive, so I know that there is hope.
He wheels himself over a kilometer to reach the mathematics department, navigating the hilly terrain of the camp.
Feel this chair all by myself is very tedious, that the department is somehow on a hill, so I have to climb up.
Every week, Isaiah covers about 26 kilometers between his hall of residence and his lecture hall.
If you are not self-motivated, then you can't do anything with disability. I'm determined. I know for sure when I'm able to put in my possible best, then God will help me.
Isaiah's commitment to his studies never wavers. He dreams of becoming a statistician.
I even made my decision. My colleagues call me professor because I know when I persevere, I'm going to make it in life. A disability cannot be a barrier to my bright future.
And that's a very inspiring story. And just before we head out, she was nearly married off during one of the extended vacations, the consequence of the double track system. That's the plight of Rukaya, who had to flee from home to Accra. While she acknowledges the benefits of the free SHS policy, Rukaya, now a graduate and works as a head porter, popularly known as Kayayo, wants the policy review to keep students from being married off. That's our Just 10 to 18 episode.
The government to provide some works at our place so that I will not come here to come and be doing the Kayayo again.
They have introduced two hostels as part of the Kayayo Empowerment Plan, and they're also training over 5,000 people. They've started with 500. Isn't that good news for you?
Still one more, so that they will create some jobs over our end, over there. So if you are not continuing your education, you should be doing any job. They should create jobs so that if you're not going to school, you can be employed there, doing small, so that you get some money.
I mean, I like to go back to school because when I'm going to school, now that I went to SS, I feel like if I, like,